ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Very shortly after I got saved, asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life, the Lord clearly spoke to me and said that He was going to bring me to Wisconsin one day to be a pastor of a church. That blew my mind. And it wasn't like an audible voice that I heard, you know, Joe, you're going to be... No, but I know He spoke to me. I know it was Him who spoke to my heart. It was very clear. I just got saved. I didn't even know hardly anything about the Bible or being a pastor. I was green as green could be. And yet I knew very clearly what God had said. And the only people who knew about what God had said to me was my wife, my pastor, and his wife. That was it. No one else knew. And I had no clue how God was going to do this. Have you ever been there? Okay, God, you want me to do this, but how? I had no idea. I didn't know when God was going to do this. All I knew was that God had promised this to me, and I rested in that. And so a year passed by. Nothing. 2 years. 3 years. 5 years. I didn't see the promise coming to pass. But I was absolutely sure that's what God said to me. And I'd pray about it from time to time. You know, sometimes you just forget about it. And you think, well, you know, maybe it was just me. Maybe I was wrong. But God kept bringing it back, what He was going to do. And as I look back over those years, I kind of see God's hand, what He was doing. Because, man, I knew nothing of the Scriptures. I knew nothing about anything. And yet, all of a sudden, God put me in charge of the nursery. And then, I mean, talk about, if you want to learn things, be in charge of the nursery. That is just an amazing, amazing thing. You learn so much. Then I was in charge of the Sunday school. And then I was asked to do a midweek Bible study. And then I was asked to be assistant pastor. And God kept putting me in charge of these things and teaching me. Even at my secular job, He was doing that. I hated to speak in front of people. It's kind of like a nightmare to do that. And I'm working at a hospital, and I'm in my early 20s, and they ask me to teach this seminar to everyone in the hospital. And there were several of us doing this. Are you kidding me? Really? You know how long it was an 8-hour seminar. I had to teach people how to treat others to be nice, which is just what makes me laugh. I mean, they didn't learn this growing up, but that's what I had to teach them. That was tough, but God was teaching me through that. Then as I moved to another hospital, at that same hospital, He put me in a position being nursing supervisor. I didn't have a bachelor's degree. I had an associate degree in nursing. He puts me in charge of the ICU, the CCU, ER, telemetry, which is a step-down unit for cardiac patients, and surgery. I mean, those are like the heaviest ones in the world. And He put me in charge of it. And as I look back, I see what God was doing. Just like He did with Joshua. Remember, Joshua was under the leadership of Moses. He was learning from him. For 40 years, he was watching, learning, growing, maturing. And that was me, years of training. So here we are, some 10 years or so passed by, nothing from Wisconsin. And I never felt the Lord saying, Joe, you need to just pack your bags up, go to Wisconsin and do a Bible study. I never felt that. I know that's how God does it sometimes, but it wasn't for me. And so as I waited, I was offered a position at Calvary Chapel in Lakeville, Illinois. Well, there's the answer, right? I missed it by just a little. Lake Villa is pretty close to Wisconsin. So I'm thinking, it's not Wisconsin. Think about that. Being a pastor of a church. I love the pastor there now, John Pinnell. God put him there. But this wasn't for me. It was tempting, But I knew what God said. Joe, I am going to bring you up to Wisconsin to be a pastor in Wisconsin. Well, a short time later, my wife was signed up to go to a women's retreat in Indiana. And she was just discharged from the hospital. She had really bad blood pressure problems, and she wasn't feeling good. And the Lord spoke to her and told her, look, I want you to go because I have something for you at this conference. And so, you know, she went, and when she got there, she was feeling miserable. And she called me up on the phone. You know, we didn't have cell phones back then. You had to use the pay phone. And she called me up and was like, you know, I just want to come home. I'm like, honey, you know the Lord has something for you. Just stay there. See what he has, you know. God will see you through this. She said the conference, you know, was great. But there wasn't that one specific thing that the Lord had said, I have something for you. It was a great conference. She learned a lot, but not that specific thing. And after the conference, the ladies got together, and the leader of the conference asked if anyone had anything to share. And one of the ladies spoke up, said, I have a prayer request. Our pastor had to step down, and we're praying about God raising up another pastor. We're from Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Well, you know, as soon as my wife heard that, not Manitowoc, because we had no clue where Manitowoc was. We had no clue at all. But as soon as she heard Wisconsin, it's like, ah, oh, that's the reason the Lord wanted me here. And so she went up to the woman and said, you know, I know someone who might be interested in coming up and being pastor at Calvary Chapel in Manitowoc. Do you have information, someone this person can contact? My wife never said that it was her husband, you know. She just said she knew someone. And she got all the information, got the information of the elder. And again, this was before cell phones, so when Julie got home, you know, she was just so excited. And when I heard it, you know, being a great man of faith, I'm like, this can't be real. No. No. You know the doubt that comes when all of a sudden it's right before you? Hey, Joe, this is what I promised you? No, it can't be. But that's kind of how it was. And I waited a couple days because I was nervous. And I called one of the elders from Calvary Chapel in Manitowoc. And I told him, look, I'm interested in coming up. Could I come up for 4 Sundays and teach? And, you know, you guys could pray about it. I'll pray about it. Let's see what the Lord wants to do. And by the way, where are you guys? Where is Manitowoc? And, you know, his straight shot from Chicago is pretty easy. You can't miss it, although I could, but I didn't. And the first Sunday I taught, I was confident. This is what God wants me to do. This is where God has me. It was so crystal clear. But I came back for the other 3, and I sat down with the elders, and, you know, we prayed about it, and they said, come on up. That was a walk of faith for me. Lake Villa, yeah, you know, that was not God's perfect will for me. For John Pinnell, it was. Not for me. Manitowoc, Wisconsin was. And how often do we settle for the good instead of the best? And I could just see the hand of God working. You know, I've told you before, the house across from ours in Chicago, or in Schaumburg, was on the market for a year or more. It's basically the same layout as our house. And they didn't sell. We put our house on the market. Within a week, it was gone. It was crazy. It made no sense. You know, people at work that I worked with are telling me, Joe, you can't go. Look at the job you have. Who do you know in Manitowoc? I don't know anyone. What are you doing? There's a walk of faith. And that's what we see with the children of Israel, right? This one group living on the west side, outside of the promised land, didn't trust really in the promise of God. They were settling for what was good, but not what was best. But here, the rest of the children of Israel are going to enter in. That's what God had for them. That was his perfect will for them. And really, the Jordan River, kind of think about it as being a dividing line between our total commitment to the Lord and our partial commitment to the Lord. God's perfect will, God's permissive will, you might think. We need to separate from the world. We need to enter where God has called us to be. in the perfect will. Because we'll see next time, there's dangerous consequences not living in God's perfect will. There was for the children of Israel that are living on the west side of the Jordan River. Remember what Solomon said in Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Again, like I said, it didn't make sense from a human perspective for me to move to Manitowoc. We had a great church we attended, Calvary Chapel of Elk Grove. We were actively involved in ministry. We loved the people there. I had a great job. I worked in the ICU, CCU, and then we opened up an open heart unit. We were doing bypass surgery. I was part of that. And the surgeons I worked with were from Loyola University. They were awesome. They were so amazing. And I loved my job. The pay was great. And I had so much vacation time because I was there for so long. We loved the home we were in. We loved the schools that were in that our kids went to. It was the perfect place to live, again, from a human perspective. So if I was leaning on my own understanding of things, I would have stayed there. Because that was good. That was what's best. When I came here, I told them at the hospital where they hired me, I said, this is what I need to make to come up here. I'm not asking for any more. I just need to at least pay my bills. And that's what they gave me. Just what I needed. Well, that's perfect. I don't need more. By trusting in the promise that the Lord had given me, not leaning on my own understanding of the situation, he directed my path, the path for my family and me. And here we are. I mean, think about, I hate to even think of this time frame. 23 years later, here we are. 23 years I've been up here. Is that incredible? And I haven't aged a day, which is even okay, that was not kind. All the laughter. The reality is, yeah, I have aged a lot. I was not gray. I had jet black hair, and I had hair, which is amazing. But wow, it's so amazing when you follow God's path, and then you look back and you see, oh, now I understand why all these things were going on. I see what you were doing, Lord. I wouldn't have done it that way. But boy, that's perfect. That's what we need to do. Just because something is easy doesn't mean it's right. And that was the problem for the children of Israel who were going to live on the east side of the Jordan River outside of the promised land. The land was great. It was easier for them. The cities were already built because they defeated the enemies there. They had jobs or whatever. It was the ideal place to live from a human perspective. But that wasn't where God wanted them. They were leaning on their own understanding in the situation, and it was not a good thing. And it brought them down. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's really what Joshua is calling the children of Israel to do, to walk by faith and not by sight. The enemy was big in numbers. They had fortified cities that would seem impossible to bring down. There were giants in the land, absolutely. But that wasn't the issue. God gave them the land. God told them to go in and possess the land, and they needed to trust in the promises of God, and he would direct their steps. He would give them the victories that they need. You know, in Joshua 1:11, it says, Joshua tells them, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And again, I look back in my life and I see that's what the Lord did. He was preparing me for the work that he called me to do. And you may be thinking, well, what should I do? What do you want me to do? Here's the best place to start. The most important place to start. Be in the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Be in your Bible. Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 said, all Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is profitable to our lives. It gives us doctrine. It tells us what's right, reproof, what's wrong, correction, how to get and, you know, get us how to get back on track, and instruction in righteousness, how to stay on track with the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord told Joshua? He said in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There is a great principle for victorious Christian living. Be men and women of the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. And then it boils down to this, and this is so important. Obey the Word of God. And the Lord tells Joshua, then you'll have good success. The good success that we have is based on letting ourselves be guided by God, because our life is in His hands. As we surrender our lives to Him, we need to walk accordingly. And I realize, you know, we look at other people's lives, Lord, why do they have it so easy? And don't we see that? You know, we go, oh, look at, man, look at that church. Look at what they're doing. And all. And you think, yeah, you're looking at the outward, but what's going on? What's going on? Do they have struggles too? Absolutely. I was thinking about, you know, the last year has been really tough with some of the issues we had here. And I was thinking about, I'm going, and I was kind of frustrated, complaining to the Lord, you know. And I was thinking, oh, wait a minute. Pastor Chuck Smith, who's now with the Lord, I can't imagine the number of people he had complaining about him. Wow. What do I have to complain about, right? And it just put things into perspective. God is working in each of our lives. We need to look at ourselves. We tend to look at others and see how they're blessed. You know, it's kind of like Asaph's, you know, the psalm of Asaph, who, you know, saw the rich prosper, the wicked prosper, and they have no problems. You know, even in death, they're happy, I guess, you know? It was untrue. But he had come to those conclusions. And for Asaph, he was complaining, Lord, look at me. I've washed my hands. Look at, I'm clean. I served you, Lord. This is what happens to me. These guys don't love you. Look at what you're doing to them. You're blessing them. How could that be? And then it says, it wasn't until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord that I saw their end. It put things into perspective for me. So for the unsaved, we know what's going to happen to them. That's not a good thing. So all the blessings they have, this is the best it gets in this life. For us as Christians, this is the worst it gets. Even as we look at other Christians and compare our lives to and get upset because, oh, we're not getting this, we're not getting that. How come they're... You need to go into the house of the Lord. You need to go into His sanctuary, into His Word, and get a perspective of things. Because God is working in you differently than He's working in this person and that person and the person over there. He's working in all of our lives differently. Isn't that amazing? Otherwise, we'd all be the same. And we're not. Look at our personalities. Look at our looks. Look at the way we dress. Look at how we are in totality. We're different. The one thing we have in common is the most important thing, Jesus. We're part of the body of Christ. Think about the human body, right? The human body doesn't all look the same. There's different parts that do different things. Ah, now look at the body of Christ. We're part of the same body, but we do different things. Praise God for that. Can you imagine if we were all pastors? So we'd all be standing up here. Who's out there? Nobody. Everyone's a pastor. It doesn't work like that. And the success we have, you know, we tend to think in monetary gain, but oh, there's so many blessings that God gives to us. We have to tune our will with His so that we're willing to take the big step, to cross our Jordans, and keep on treading that territory that God has for us. We have to devote our minds to God's Word. And I believe when that happens, we possess the land. No one's going to stand before us because God is with us, just like He was with Moses, just as He was with Joshua. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And we'll have success wherever we go. And think about the children of Israel. What did they have from the Lord? They had His promise. The promise of God to them. His Word. And that's exactly what we have. And God is preparing us for the work. And He prepares the work for us. And what does He call us to do? Walk. Take those steps of faith. Harry Ironside put it like this. He said, "Let us ask our own hearts, what kind of Christian am I? Am I living all out for God, or am I dwelling on the border of the world? We died with Christ at Calvary when he died in our place. There we were crucified with him. Is this a reality to our souls? When Christians come to me and ask if there is any harm in this and that, something that pertains to the east side of the Jordan, something in which the world indulges, I say, why don't you ask if there would be any harm in going to a prayer meeting? Oh, they answer, anybody knows there is no harm in going to a prayer meeting. Well, that is the answer. They would not think of asking the question if there was not a doubt in their minds. When it comes to something of which you stand in doubt, you may be sure it will never help you spiritually. It will never help to make Christ more precious to you. It will never make you love his word more. It will never enable you to triumph over sin. A great many of these things may not be wicked, but are just bordering on the edge of the world, as it were." You know, I think it's important for us to understand, where are we living? Is it in the land of Canaan that God has called us to, walking in that spirit-filled life, being guided by the Holy Spirit? Or is it on the eastern side of the Jordan River, outside his perfect will, and the consequences we face are not good? God wants us to live that spirit-filled life. And if we're living it, if we've surrendered our lives to the Holy Spirit, he will lead us. It's not my will, it's his will. And it's not easy, like I said. But if it was, we wouldn't need the Lord. But some of the greatest victories are seen as we surrender and walk by faith, as we see the battle before us and we understand the Lord has already given us the victory in that battle. You just have to go forth and possess the land. And I love Paul, what he said in Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." And he has to close with an amen. Praise the Lord. No, so let it be. I mean, that's his promise, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's the power of God's Spirit working in us and through us. And in the end, he gets the glory. Let me close with this morning, for you to think about. We all know what it is to need courage for an unseen future and faith in God's promises to generate obedience to his commands. What strikes me in this chapter is the divine urgency about it all. This day has been a long time coming, but when it dawns, there is no room for delay. Our problem is that we often fail to act as we know we should because we do not believe sufficiently to launch out on the bare word of our promising God. Yet nothing could be more certain or secure. I'm not talking about bright ideas we have thought up or notions we like to entertain, but about a clear word of God from Scripture. When God applies his word to our lives in regard to something he is calling us to do, we must begin to do it in the strength that he supplies as soon as we can. Our temptation is to wait and then ask for further light without acting on the light he has already given us. But all I need to do for my heart to harden after God has spoken his word is nothing. All progress in our discipleship begins by God speaking with clarity and often persistence through the Scriptures, commanding and promising, and then the Spirit of God applying the word of truth so relevantly and potently that we cannot escape its demand. This is the purpose of God's commission, a life that trusts and obeys, which is a life that he can use. So I guess that's the challenge for us, guys. Where are you living? Are you in the will of God, obeying his leading and accepting the challenges that are before you as you grow in him? Because God has what's best for your life. And we need to seek that and walk in it and see what he's going to do in us and through us. And if you're not living in the land of Canaan, if you're not living in the promised land, maybe it's time for you to change neighborhoods. Think about it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this example of faith. All these people trusting in the promise of your word. And look, we have Genesis through Revelation, the many, many promises that are in there for us. The word that your Spirit is speaking to our hearts, guiding us, directing us. And all you tell us to do is to walk by faith, to trust in you. And it doesn't mean the situation or the battle is going to be easy. But there will be victory in the end. You're working in us, not for nothing, but for good. And we're so thankful for that. And Lord, if there's any here this morning that are struggling to enter into that promised land, the land of Canaan, that spirit-filled life, Lord, encourage them to take those steps of faith and see the salvation you'll bring to the situations that they face. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for being our God and for your word to us. May we trust it and walk by faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.